Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira. Perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol!
Alessio. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. Oh dear.
Just roll with it, we're keeping it.
Yeah, I say just keep on going.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher, joined by reliable and trusty co-host Anthony Torkrud.
That's me, reliable and trusty. Tell your friends. Torkrud 45, I don't know. And we got Madison too.
Yeah, go ahead and follow me at Madison_DT.
Yeah, like that hat, Maddie. Big fan.
Gotta go.
Yeah, it's cool. Cool brand, big over here actually. So this is the episode where we can't do actual small talk or anything like that. We've got about 3 hours worth of stuff to cram into, I don't know, an hour, let's say. The club is sort of on fire, but at the same time, it's not on fire. Everything's sorted.
It's on good fire.
I'll say it's on good fire.
It depends, doesn't it? It depends. No, we'll come on to that. What I'm eager to do is probably to go through things chronologically. The easy thing to do, everybody's aware, there's no elephant in the room here. There's a lot.
Actually, there's one elephant in the room, and it's on Madison's shirt.
That's a woolly mammoth.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you win.
What?
It's a woolly mammoth. I don't know, actually. It could be an elephant.
It's an elephant.
It's an elephant.
Anyway, lads, we're getting sidetracked already. I want to go through this chronologically because I don't want to blitz through all the main topics early on. We've got a couple of games to recap, so we'll start by recapping the two games because, honestly, the way that we've gone about things since the resumption of Serie A is what the team deserves, is for their efforts to be focused on. Two games to recap, two wins. It started on Saturday night. It feels like ages since we played on a Saturday night for some reason.
Yeah.
But we did, and obviously we've got a game coming this Friday night as well. It feels like it's been exclusively Sundays for a while, and then obviously the midweek game as well, given the hectic nature of the schedule. But Saturday night, yeah, played Bologna. Wow. And it was that?
I didn't realize we played on Friday. I thought we played Saturday, but look at that.
I would rather play it on Saturday, I think, to be honest.
Yeah.
Saturday night we played Bologna at home. It was one of those that, as you guys talked about on the podcast last week, it was a bit of a mismatch on paper looking at form and stuff. Bologna have had a good season under Mihailovic, like a very solid season for what their squad is, which I don't think is amazing, to be brutally honest. I think there are better squads that should be performing higher than theirs, and they've put together a good run but have fallen away from European contention. Still, with it being Mihailovic and him being the story of the season, rightly so, you know. An amazing story for him, and obviously wish him well with his recovery still. But with him being a former Milan coach, thought that Bologna would be fired up for it. And I suppose going into half-time, there was a game still. You know, it was 2-1. But ended up blowing them away and winning 5-1. In my opinion, attacking-wise, our best performance of the season. Up there with Lazio, but beating Lazio was like a wounded animal at that stage because they had no attackers to play or anything like that. And the more you look back on it, the more that looks like a bit of an asterisk kind of win. But the Bologna game was just amazing. Five different scorers. We should have scored 4 goals in the first half. We did score 3 goals in the second half. Just a joy to watch.
Yeah, it was a blast. I mean, I still am going to say 4-2 over Juve is the best performance of my life watching Milan. But seeing us put 5 past a team is always incredible. It's only happened like 3 or 4 times in my life as a Milan fan.
I'll say, when was the last time that we had 5 goals scored, let alone 5 goals from 5 different goal scorers?
The 5 goals scored, I think, was when we beat Fiorentina 5-1 at the end of
the end of the Montella season.
That was a...
But even then, I don't think it was 5 different scores, right?
No, it wasn't. And we went 1-0 down in that game as well. And we were struggling for a while. But we just did the business. I've actually had to get up the list of goal scorers, which is kind of embarrassing. But I remember it now. The first goal, Teo Hernandez, obviously, as he does, getting in behind this man, pulls it back. Great dummy from Zlatan, and Salamaka's finished first time. His first goal for the club, which is great to see.
First of many.
I hope you're right. his first goal for the club, and it came after, obviously, the celebration of him signing on a permanent deal. So that was a good way to mark it. And he had a good game, I would say, overall as well.
Yeah, I've been saying for a while that I think he owns that spot. You know, he's lucky that Castillejo's been injured. That's why he's been given the opportunity. But I think his performances are deserving of a real chance, even when Castillejo's fit. And I know a lot of people disagree with that, but, I mean, this performance that we're talking about now, the one against Sassuolo that we'll talk about in a minute, and the one prior to Bologna, I mean, I think he's been fantastic. So I'm happy to see it. And at the price that we got him for, like, you can't complain about anything, you know?
Rohit did a good tactical piece on the website, which I'd urge people to go and read. Having him in our team shifts literally everything, because he covers so much more ground than Castillejo and Suso did prior to him. And also, with him almost being able to play as a second right back in the defensive phase, because he's played that position, it just makes our right side look so much less vulnerable, and it opens up so many other possibilities on the other side. And a few people have pointed it out. Kessié is basically playing now on the left side of our midfield, and Bennacer on the right, which allows, because Kessié is better at defensive coverage, it allows Teo to get as far forward as he does. And Bennacer playing where he does, it allows us to just form triangles on that right side and find your Çalhanoğlu's and Rebic's in space, making those smart runs. So having Salamakis is so important for us. I think Castillejo probably comes back into the team for the last couple of games, just so we keep things fresh and you know, we feel things out. We'll come on to it, but we've sealed a spot in the top seven now. So really, it's just a case of whether we play a couple of extra games or not. Which is as trivial as it sounds, I suppose.
No, but it'd be kind of nice, because then we end the season end of July, so 2 weeks. Then we'd have those playoff games in August, and then we start the season in.
Yeah, so the season's going to end August 2nd, and there's supposed to be 3 weeks off before the next game. So essentially, we would just not have those 3 weeks, you know?
It's better than having preseason games, in my opinion. You know,
yeah,
we normally play. Who do we normally play? The
International Champions Cup.
Oh, yeah, we normally play that. But then we played Cesena last preseason. Yeah. And we drew 0-0, and that's when the panic started with Gianpaolo, because we couldn't break down the second division team, and it ended up being justified.
Qualifiers are typically two games, right? It's not a playoff? It's not
a single game. It'll be two. Unless they choose to do it as a playoff.
That's what I was going to ask. Because there's that only three-week break, I wonder if they just make it a single elimination game, which definitely up the ante if we get someone like whoever finishes six in the Premier League, Wolves or whoever it may be, Tottenham, you know?
We won't get Wolves. We'll get some Greek club or something.
That's kind of my thought as well, but didn't Lazio or someone get Wolves?
Torino did.
Yeah.
And the way it works as well is it depends if they do, because we drop straight into the third qualifying round, which would mean that we'd only need to win one round to go through. Whereas teams will have played a first and second qualifying round, so it should get rid of all the really, really small teams. Mm-hmm. So who knows? We could end up getting. My worry is we get like Bayer Leverkusen or no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like one of Ajax or something.
Yeah.
Ajax was getting Champions League, right?
PSV or something like that.
My biggest concern, honestly, is that we get Tottenham, because just looking at where it's at, that's the best that they could finish right now would be the qualifying rounds for the Premier League, and I mean, put this trash season aside. Yeah, they were just in the Champions League final. I mean, that's not a good draw for us.
No. Yeah.
So maybe we don't want seventh place.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want fifth, but I'm not going to bitch about it, you know?
It becomes an issue of, like, how you say it as well. You know, if you look at where Pioli took over this team in ninth position and basically level with bottom half of the table, to take us into fifth would be absolutely incredible. Seventh doesn't quite sound as good, but we've got every chance. Sure, we were ninth.
Yeah,
when he took over, and
I thought we were like way bottom half.
No, but with a loss, we had been bottom half. But of course, Gianpaolo got sacked after a win. He got sacked after we won at Genoa to go back into the top half.
Yeah. And then didn't Pioli lose at Genoa, ironically?
Yeah, he did, yeah, which is funny. But anyway, back to the Bologna game, just to quickly wrap this up. Bennacer, so they got one
back. We were in 12th when Pioli took over. No, I'm sorry. We were in 13th. Pioli took over and got us 12th. Wow. So, yeah. Because our lowest position was 17th. That was match week one when we just lost to Udinese 1-0. You know?
That was funny. Relegation battle. Yeah. So that Takahiro Tomiyasu goal was special. I liked that one. Where he just cut into his left and banged it into the top corner. Give me the jitters a little bit.
I wasn't even mad, man. I think I even put in the chat. I was like, that's a nice consolation goal. And at the time, that made it 2-1. But I felt it. This team.
I never like it when teams scored just before halftime. But we came out and completely silenced it. We scored twice before the hour mark. Bennacer got his first goal for the club. He got a bit of fortune with the deflection. But, you know, the way that they parted like the Red Sea was actually quite funny. He just walked through and hit it and it went in. And then Rebic scored. Lovely feed from Ibra. Give him credit. He had a great game in this one. And then Calabria finishing off I think it was 6 passes and 11/12 seconds that we went from Donnarumma having the ball to Calabria and that interplay down the right side. And then he ended up finishing it off with an assist from Leal. So that was just the icing on the cake of a brilliant performance. And the
something that doesn't get talked about in that is the improvement in Donnarumma's distribution, because he used to be terrible with the ball on his feet. He just was. And he obviously created that goal from literally nothing. So
there was just that whole thing about the amount of time that he used to try and switch the ball to the fullbacks and it ended up 10 yards over the head. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he picked out Calabria's chest perfectly to start that move. Yeah, as you say, perfect testament to how his distributions improved, and 5-1, big win, biggest win of the season so far in terms of margin, which set us up nicely for the game against Sassuolo last night. We record on Wednesday night, so Tuesday night, bit of a mixed one for us, you know, in terms of our record at that particular ground, even though recently we've clawed it back. They seem to be our bogey team for a long time, did Sassuolo, but we've just about managed to start getting the upper hand over them. Let's talk about things as they happen, shall we? So the first half, early-ish on, Sassuolo started well, must say. Fair play to them. They're a good side. De Zerbi's a good manager. They actually play progressive football. You know, they've drawn, I want to say they've drawn a couple of their recent games 3-3. And one of those was against Inter, I think. And they score goals for fun. They've got Caputo, Berardi, Jeremy Boga, Locatelli in midfield, Toljan. A lot of good players. I just quite like them, to be honest. Not as a club, but as a team, I find them quite good to watch. I feared the worst for this game. So I'm just wondering the moment that we're going to hit the buffers. I feel like there's going to be a point where Ibrahimovic has another stinker because he doesn't have the legs to carry him through 90 minutes of games anymore. And, you know, the buffers just stop and the team sort of falls behind him. But he actually led by the front more so than any game I've seen him in this season. He scored a fantastic diving header early on, which was a great bit of work because, again, it was a product of our high press. We won the ball back high up the pitch. Ball found Ibra, Ibra to Bennacer, Bennacer to Çalhanoğlu. Perfectly timed run in between the centre-backs by Zlatan. Header 1-0. Amazing. 10 minutes after that, Conte had gone off injured with a shitty knee problem again that he seems to have four of a season. And Romagnoli had gone off injured. And around about that same time, they equalised with a penalty. Ball went in. Header from Caputo went on to Çalhanoğlu's hand, bicep, whatever. And you just knew they were going to give it based on the slow-mo. They've started giving those, basically. And there is an element of consistency because we got one earlier in the season.
I would have gave it.
On Benucci when he blocked Rebic's header in a similar way. You know, it went straight onto his bicep. They've started giving those, is what it is. Perhaps if we do drawn or lost, it might be a bit of a different combo. But yeah, was what it was. And around about all the time that this is going on, I've broken off writing the match report to write up something from Kicker saying Ralph Rangnick's died. No, Ralph Rangnick's not coming anymore. That's it. It's off. So first thing I thought, I don't know about you lads, was it's Kicker. So take it with a pinch of salt because I've heard people call them the German Tuttosport. They seemed pretty firm on it. So I thought I'm going to write it up, but I'm going to put Kicker in the headline so people know what's going on. Then Bild report the same thing. And it's like, ah, oh, shit, something's going on here.
And if you now, don't know Bild, never... that's like the German version of Sky. Like, that's gospel.
It's virtually official at that point. I've been covering Milan games now for the best part of half a decade. Maybe actually is a best part of a decade. I've been doing stuff since the 2014 season. I've never, ever had as stressful a game as that cover because the game itself was eventful. But then having to actually write other things as the game's going on just made it a nightmare.
While our chat's having a meltdown.
Understandably.
Dude, I had no idea what was going on. I had to run to the store and I got back and the chat had exploded. And then I was like, wait, Pioli got a deal? And I was like,
so I think there needs to be an acknowledgement that around about half-time, so Ibrahimovic scored just before half-time to make it 2-1 to us. It was an amazing counter-attack, to be totally honest with you. Mm-hmm. Calhanoglu made such a clever run, but the person who made that goal was Rebic. If you watch his decoy run to drag... I can't remember his name. He drags the other centre-back away, which allows Ibrahimovic to take up the position that he does. He times his run perfectly. Calhanoglu has an easy 5-yard pass. Round the keeper, bang, 2-1. Amazing stuff. Almost straight from kickoff. That guy for them, I know that sounds incredibly vague. Let me find it. Mehdi Bourabia went straight through the back of Rebic. That was a straight red on its own, to be honest. I remember watching the game live downstairs with my dad, and my dad just went, oh, that's a disgraceful tackle. Like, he wiped through him. And then he had the audacity to hold his own shin as if he was the one that was injured from that.
So I was watching at work. I got my TV there and I work from this desk here. So I was in a meeting. And so I'm kind of like, you know, listening, watching like this, but I got my work computer on mute and I see that. And like, I started screaming and then I was like, oh shit, can anyone hear me? And luckily I was on mute, but yeah, even I was like,
are you on camera or no?
No.
Okay.
The game was on, so I was like, I better have the camera off. Otherwise, I would. I participate. I'm a good employee.
Well, I always have, like, my camera here and then the game right here.
Oh, so you can kind of just, like, look to the side. That's smart.
So it was the red card just before the break. So halftime, everything went to shit because other people were starting to report it. We look for the reliable sources, you know, Anto Vitiello and Pietro and stuff to report it. And they were starting to tweet, confirmed. Rangnick's not coming anymore. So that was incredible. Then there was that weird phase where everybody was tweeting, not only is Rangnick not coming, but the club are going to make an official statement about it after the game. And my question was like, why would we make a statement about somebody not coming unless we have to publicly declare that we've cancelled some kind of agreement that we had with him? And in legal terms, we had to do that. I didn't know. I just didn't think it'd be coming. And then in the second half, it became apparent that the thing that we were communicating was the fact that Pioli had signed a 2-year contract extension on Monday night. So I put a tweet out from Kilpin Chronicle saying what the last 24 hours has proven is that all of the usual, you know, people that you would say are in the know are well connected to the club, you know, maybe not so much Sky and Di Marzio anymore, but the insider guys, Anto, Pietro, as we mentioned, Vito to an extent, they all didn't pick up on it. You know, nobody knew that over 24 hours previously, Stefano Pioli had signed a new contract. And not only that, but Pioli said in his post-match interview that they'd been negotiating it for days. So it goes to prove two things. One, it wasn't a sudden rash decision off the back of the Bologna game that Gazidis has turned around and said, we don't want Rangnick anymore. And two, this new management, this ownership structure are very, very good at keeping important news under wraps. Mm-hmm. I think back to signings last summer. And I think, yes, Bennacer was leaked well before. You know, we knew he was signing before the African Cup of Nations, which was a godsend in the end. But Teo Hernandez, everything came out in a very short period of time when it became apparent that Maldini was in Ibiza all of a sudden negotiating with him. The Rafael Leão thing was wrapped up very quickly. You know, not many people knew much about that before. The Rebic thing, again, happened very quickly, given it was a loan swap, fair enough. And the January deals, the Kier thing, as soon as Caldara went, bang, he was in.
Yeah.
This management are very, very good and very efficient at getting things done. And I like that. Now on to the important thing. We won the game 2-1, by the way, but really, it really felt like it was an afterthought at this point. We ought to talk about a couple of things. Teo Hernandez.
Real quick, did you see Zlatan's reaction during post game when they told him that Pioli got the renewal? His face, oh my God.
It was something along the lines of.
Yeah. Which is what he wanted. So,
for those who aren't on YouTube, I did a startled face. Apparently, he got told about it and he said, oh, is that right? It's news to me. He kind of dismissed it as if it was rumors. And then after the interview, he asked the guy, he's like, is it true? Has he actually signed an extension? And that's when he pulled that face.
He's like, yeah, it's official.
I've seen a little video clip.
Yeah.
So that's what happened immediately after the full-time whistle, pretty much. It all came out that Stefano Pioli has signed a new deal until 2022. His previous one ran until 2021, but of course that was because of an option, which meant that he would have left if we didn't qualify for European football. So he extended it to 2022. Gut reactions, raw emotion, let it all go. What do you think?
AJ, you can go first.
I wanted Raniak. You know, that's no secret. I was all about it. I made those videos for a YouTube channel that are now pointless.
I'm hiding those, by the way.
Yeah. I really wanted him. I think he's revolutionary, and I think he would have been a great fit. But like I said the last couple weeks, Pioli's definitely earned recognition. I don't know if he deserves another year because we saw what happened with Gattuso when we gave him one, and we saw what happened with Montella when we gave him one. Like we've seen it before. He doesn't have the greatest track record at longevity. I don't think he's ever stayed at a club 2 full years before. But at the end of the day, like, how do you not reward him for his work? You know, we kept saying, like, it's sad. It's kind of a bummer that we're getting rid of him, but he's going to get a great job. But that wasn't because I wanted him to stay. It was just because I think he's definitely earned something.
Mm.
I don't know if I would have went with it. I kind of think it might have been the wrong move. But the one positive takeaway is continuity. If we stick with it, if we continue with the way we're working with the same core people on the pitch and just build off them, then who's to say that we can't do something, you know, not Liverpool-esque, but like a 5-year plan. If we just commit to one instead of going through a rough patch and saying fuck it, scratch it, start over, like we've been doing the last 8 years, then maybe we could pull something out of this. Is Pioli the guy that's going to win us the Champions League? I really doubt it. But he might get us to the Champions League. And I think that's the key point, is this is the transition phase. You know, once we secure Champions League, that's when we go for the Max Allegri's, the Antonio Conte's. I mean, we're basically following the exact blueprint that Inter did. You know, they had Spalletti. He stabilized their turmoil like he did ours. Granted, they had Pioli, and then they went to Spalletti. Once they got Spalletti, they secured Champions League. Then they went to Conte, and now they're fighting in it. So it sounds like we're just following the same blueprint. And if it works, it works. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't know who Ralf Rangnick was when he was being linked with Milan. I knew Red Bull organization. He's the technical director. He must be really good at what he does, because that organization recruits and develops some great football players. So I was pleased, but I also had some reservations. He's coming to a league that he doesn't speak the language, and he's never competed in this league before. And this ownership is going to give him technical director and manager, so he pretty much has complete reign over football operations for the team. But I was excited because it was going to be something new. Then when Pioli started turning the team around, I was like, is this the right move? Like, the thing with this club every season is switching the manager and switching it at the time when you want to have continuity. I think he deserves it, and I'm excited for next season. And I'm excited because there's not going to be a long break between the summer and the fall. So there's not going to be a lot of time for the team
keep the to momentum going. That
chemistry. Yeah. So I'm happy with the way it turned out. I think it was the smarter decision. And with what was in the news was true with the Milan management telling Regnick that they wanted him to be technical director and Pioli to stay as coach. And he said no. And they're like, all right. Or he walked away, you know. That means that this management team wanted Pioli to stay enough to let him walk away from the table.
Yeah, we could do an hour on this alone. It's been a difficult few weeks, months.
Do we think two years is right, though? I mean, I get one season.
I think because next season was optional, they wanted to tie him down.
But that's the thing. I mean, he was guaranteed this next season if he got Champions League this season. He didn't. So in my head, why not do the same deal? Just give him a full year, and like, if you get Champions League, we'll give you another year.
I think it's just a statement to say not only are we not bringing in Ranić, but this is our guy.
Yeah, we're backing him, and I get.
I really think that is literally it. Who knows? Yeah. It might come out that there is some stipulation where. If in the next season we miss Europe entirely, then it was an option.
That's not like we can't sack him. We sack everyone, so.
I was going to say, he could just, you know.
Yeah.
We actually spend more money paying managers we don't have any more than what we do.
That's why we didn't get Spalletti in the first place.
Yeah. There's so many different stipulations from all this. It's been a tough few months to cover this football club from a news perspective. And it feels particularly exhausting when after everything, after all the countless hours put in, not just by me, by other writers from other websites as well, so much effort and research has been put into finding out about Ranić and giving Milan fans the proper lowdown on what we can expect, because every single major news outlet managed to get on the same page in agreeing that it was definitely happening, it was definitely coming, the agreement was already. You know, we talked about targets, we talked about his style of play, his plan for recruitment, the staff that he might bring. Everything was talked about. And then in the blink of an eye, it's gone. That's the frustrating part of it, I suppose, from a fan's point of view as well, is that we have been led down a certain path. And then we've been taken all the way back up the path and gone down the other one. Now, I said on the podcast when things were going really well, there were sort of two roads for us to go down here. There was one which was Ranić and his whole model of buying cheap, developing, selling on. Or there was the other model, which was the Pioli route, which was sticking with him, probably sticking with Maldini and Massara, who are adamant on bringing in a mix of youth and experience. So a bit more balanced recruitment, similar levels of investment, what have you. Both in my eyes were good. You know, both of them had their positives. The thing that is concerning about us deciding to stay with Pioli is that there are those who will think that it's a complete impulse decision based on the last 9 games. And I totally understand that, because we've won 7 out of 9. We've beaten both the Rome clubs. We've beaten Juve, and then we've beaten Bologna 5-1, and we've beaten an informed Sassuolo side. You can't deny the results that Pioli's had. But it's a good month and a half of results. Do you want to scrap a 3-year plan that you had in place for that? Well, I guess Elliott management have decided that they do. The difficult thing now is that if you put all your eggs into one basket, it kind of becomes hard to unload them and get everybody on side. And I wrote something for the website basically saying that we just have a duty as supporters now, regardless of which camp you're in. If you're in the Ranić in camp, then, you know, understand the disappointment, but just appreciate that we're living through a good moment of watching a team that's playing fantastic attacking football, and they're making us proud to support the team again. You know, got to appreciate what we have in the present. if you're in the anti-Rangnick, the Pioli in camp, whatever, great, you got the outcome that you wanted, but you know, ultimately as fans, we all want the best thing, and that is the most successful football club that we can possibly have. Would one have been successful and the other not? You know, would Rangnick have come in and crashed and burned? I honestly don't think so. We might have needed a bit more patience. Down the Pioli route now, is it a guaranteed success? Absolutely not. You know, this might just be a flash in the pan run of games. You've got to remember that he won something like 11 out of 13 during his spell at Inter, and then somehow managed to get sacked before the end of the same season. So we don't know. But what we do know is that this current group of players are good. The way that Pioli is managing them is good. Maldini appears to be a good technical director. Massara appears to be a good sporting director. You know, the summer recruitment was good. Benacer, Teo Hernandez, Rafael Leao, you know, they've all played an important part in the season so far. The scouting team are good. So the problem for us over the last few years has been a lack of continuity, a lack of seeing things through when we actually have something good going on. It was the thing that's maybe made us regret letting Gattuso leave. And it may have been the thing that made us regret Pioli leaving. He could have gone to another club. Fiorentina was mentioned, and understandably so, and done a fantastic job. He could have done, and we could have really regretted it because Rangnick could have set us back a year. We don't know now. You know, the past is the past. Links were links. Whether there were agreements, pre-agreements, whatever it may be, everything's ripped up now. We know which direction we're going in, so we might as well all just get behind it. You know, they haven't given us a reason not to. It's not like we've lost four games in a row and they've decided, no, we're going to stick with Pioli. We're a machine at the moment. And why would you want to turn it off?
I think we're the second best informed team in at least Serie A right now behind Atalanta.
And we'll find out.
Possibly Europe. I mean, the difference between us and the other hot clubs right now is we're beating the top clubs. You know, look at the top seven. Obviously, take us out of it. So the top six, the only ones we haven't beaten, Atalanta and Inter. I mean, we're cleaning house.
Napoli. We drew twice with Napoli.
Well, we drew with Napoli. Yeah,
they were both good results, though. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We went to Napoli, didn't perform, and got a draw. And that was, for me, said that the sign of a good team is when you play shit and still get something.
Yeah.
Milan, for years, have been playing well and not getting what they deserve, whereas this time we got something that we didn't deserve. And, yeah, we'll see about Atalanta. I don't treat it as a proper game because it sounds like we're going to be without our entire back four and we're going to be without Benacer. So it's going to be a bit of a... The unbeaten run probably comes to an end on Friday, but we'll come on to that game. What I will say is there was a striking image to try and sort of encapsulate everything into one. There was a striking few images posted by the club's official account this morning of all the players at training. President Paolo Scaroni wrapped up, CEO Ivan Gazidis, technical and sporting directors Paolo Maldini and Ricky Massara all showed up and spoke to Stefano Pioli. And there were pictures of the squad all happy and smiling and, like, you know, arms around each other and stuff. And then, obviously, Donnarumma got presented with his 200th appearance thing. Amazing, by the way. Should just say congratulations to GGO.
Against the 21. Team.
And had the armband.
Yeah. Yeah. Obscene, really. Obscene. We take for... I think sometimes guilty of taking for granted that we have... Just,
undeniably, is it deniable that he's a club legend already? I mean, he's the best goalkeeper we've had in over a decade, if not multiple.
If he,
that doesn't make him a legend.
If he gets through his career without doing anything controversial, like moving to Juve in a few years, then yeah, he will establish legend status. Not only that, I'm fairly confident he'll break records for Serie A appearances and stuff like that, assuming that he stays with us for his career, which
well,
I really hope.
He's already a third of the way there, pretty much.
Yeah.
In 4 years.
Matt, he's 21.
No.
Yeah. Now think if we actually have a third competition, like, he'll blow through him, you know?
He'll literally walk it. So, yeah, it was good as well that it came against the team versus whom it all started. He made his debut against Sassuolo. So that was nice. That was nice. And a win. A win. That was the most important thing. So fair play for that. But the pictures came out, everybody was happy and smiling, you know, like, because Edis had his arm around Pioli, and you just got the opinion that this negative image has been painted by the media. And I acknowledge there are people who probably be screaming, oh, as a website, you cover all that. We have to. You know, if Sky say that things aren't great between directors at the club, we have to report it. We can't just not. We're not club sponsored. Like, we have to report these
things.
Well,
we don't have to, but then we wouldn't be reporting anything. So
yeah, you know, it's difficult when there are so many places saying that there are fallouts going on between the senior management. You know, Maldini has a different vision to Gazidis. Maldini's fuming about Ranić. Boban's going because he hates everybody. He hates everything. It was different, you know? It's like,
maybe
all we've heard about
was the issue. Or Boban was the issue.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he was a hothead.
You know,
he's a hothead on the pitch, too.
The idea of him coming back has been very firmly quashed. Also, he might still leave Maldini. Maldini might still leave, sorry, as well. We ought to acknowledge that. You know, the fact is that things still went behind his back. The Ranić thing did still go behind his back. So he might still go out of principle, but I think there's a damn sight better chance of him staying now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole media attention had been about how everybody at the club hates each other and that the team were performing well despite it. Those pictures came out and I feel like everybody's mood lifted, as if to say, okay, this is it. The dust has settled now. This is the group that we've got to get behind. And they're giving us plenty of reasons to get behind them. So I feel positive. I feel optimistic. We don't know how the Ranić thing would have worked out. We're backing something that at least over the last 6 to 8 weeks has worked out. We're getting the consistency and the continuity that we've always craved. And we see what happens. We see what happens from here. So yeah, that's it. We're going down the Pioli route now. That's that done. Does it make you wonder? Like we've speculated for weeks and weeks about potential sale. And go on. I know. I'll just let you take it away.
Yeah, you know I'm all about this. So Breida the other day made some comments about Ranić not knowing our football, and everyone just kind of took it as Italian football. But what we also know was that when Arnaud was interested in buying Milan, and he was. He was tapped to be the sporting director with Max Allegri as the manager. And we know that from a very credible source. But now he's talking about this. On the same day that Pioli's contract was signed, not the day it was announced, though. So that's interesting. 2 days before it was announced was when it was signed, and those were when his comments came out. That adds up there.
What did he say?
He said Ranić wouldn't fit for Milan because he doesn't know our football. He doesn't know our system.
Oh, okay.
He basically said what Maldini said before. Mm-hmm. About, you know, he's not a manager for Milan, which is understandable. I mean, he's allowed his opinions and stuff.
Right.
But also worth mentioning that Arno's yacht was spotted in Italy last week. So
did not know that.
You tell me. Well, who is it came out? Oh, I can't remember her name. Corona. So, Corona.
That's a virus.
I will find it. Give me 1 second. There was a journalist, basically, who has covered the team for 25, 30 years now, who was basically insinuating that this change of plan from Milan, it points towards a sale of the club. Mm-hmm. I can't find
it. Well, and the final hurdle that we knew of that had been reported multiple times was the stadium. We know that's going forward now. That's been confirmed. We know we're leaving the San Siro soon at some point. We don't know dates, but we know we're building a new stadium. We're getting out of Dodge. Everything adds up. That was the final hurdle. You see all this capital gains that we're making. You know, we see the books going from red to black. Like, everything makes sense. It all adds up. Mm. And now this crazy sudden turnaround. I don't know.
Might it be that, you know, there was sort of two different timelines set up. There was one where the stadium project took a long time and we maybe didn't break ground for 3 years. So Elliot thought, well, in that period of time, we might as well increase the value of the club by being smart with the balance books. Who can we bring in on the sporting side to oversee that change? It's Ranić, let's bring him in. And then the other timeline of events was the stadium thing everything gets resolved very quickly, which it has. They're looking to break ground next year, open in 2024. So the sale of the club becomes a lot easier because that's another huge asset that a potentially interested figure or consortium would want. You know, is mm-hmm. the potential to own part of a big new stadium complex and all the possibilities that come with that. That has always been the thing that every major news outlet has talked about with regards to the sale to Bernard Arnault for various reasons. You understand, you know, he's a fashion tycoon and he wants to break into the fashion capital of Europe, aside from Paris maybe, but yeah. And this would give him such a good foothold to be able to do so. Obviously, he's not going to be able to buy Inter because Sunning have got that all wrapped up. But this would be a big, big thing for him. And in fashion, he's always wanted to be the best. So with his football club, he'd want to be the best. He'd put money into it. He'd put a lot of money into it. And the financial fair play thing, God, it does line up well. You know, if he were to come in now and FFP weren't a thing, we could just spaff a load of money on whoever we want.
Imagine a $1 billion transfer window.
Mate. Pioli just trying to tell Neymar how to press or something. It'd be quite funny.
Wait, you've seen Ronaldo roll his eyes when Sarri's giving him instructions.
Yeah, that was funny. But it makes you wonder. I'm sure stuff will come out about that. But don't want to spend too much time on speculation and all that kind of stuff. So what have we got? Atalanta Friday. This is hard, man. It feels like I'm not going to judge us on Friday's game. There are just too many things that are mitigating circumstances for us. You know, we're going to have basically an entirely new back four. Bennacer won't be playing either. We're going to have tired legs in the front three as well. And we're playing against a really, really informed side, full of players that are just absolute freaks of nature and seem to be able to play three games a week.
I think they're slowing down, though. Looking at recent results, they haven't been this crazy goal-scoring team. Granted, they just clinched like an all-time high for goals scored in Serie A last week, but still.
Yeah, it's mental. Do you know what? Fair play to Atalanta, because I was convinced they were going to burn out at some point this season, especially with having the Champions League, but they just haven't. They've just kept rolling. They're the most informed side this calendar year, I think, or definitely since lockdown. I think it's this calendar year as well. They're mint, but as you say, yeah, the results haven't been quite as impressive, but when you're putting seven past teams, I suppose, you're not going to be able to do that every week. I don't expect us to get walked over on Friday, just because we've got this newfound resolve and resilience that is actually quite nice to watch. But I think we'll get beaten. You know, it's tough. They're probably going to score at least two because of our makeshift back line. And that's not a disgrace by any means. You know, all your game system plans go out the window when you have to make four changes to your back six players.
Yeah. We're going to have a youth center back and then a player who's not a center back fill in the other slot, because we genuinely do not have anyone else. We have four center backs on the squad, three of them are injured, one suspended. Or we have five center backs on the squad. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bad. And it just goes to show as well that Musacchio and Duarte moving forward are not our depth options. Mm-mm. You know, for exactly situations like this, when you need your depth options at center back, they're not available for us because they play one or two games and get injured themselves. So, like, they're not
long-term injuries. They've been out for a while.
Yeah, they're not. Duarte's made of wet tissue. Was it you who said that? Yeah. Oh no, that was Conte, but still, again, same applies. Those aren't the guys, and I can see why we're linked with so many different centre backs. Friday is just, I don't read too much into it. I'm gonna say that we'll lose 3-1.
I think it'll be
closer than we think. I think it'll be 2-1.
My only desire out of this is that we get one goal, just because I like where we're going with this. If we score in the next three games, then that'll be 20 straight, and I think that's a record for us. And I just like that. You know, a little consolation, cherry on top of the season.
But what we're not winning the game. If we get any result out of this game on Friday,
I'd be happy.
It will be perfect evidence as to why we've chosen to stick with Pioli, because there will be some kind of tactical masterclass involved, without a doubt. It will probably mean that we spend as little time with the ball in our half as possible, and it will involve a lot of different, you know, combinations, whatever going on up in the other half of the field. It'll involve probably us playing a low block, and we'll have to see how we get on doing that. It will be a masterclass if we get anything out of it. So I'm interested in that sense. You know, I like the idea of him sending out Laxalt, Gabir, fucking, I don't know, Calabria and Conte as like the four defenders.
That's gonna be, maybe, I think.
With maybe Calabria as a centre-back, and saying, lads, do something stupid and keep a clean sheet. And they're just like so fired up that they're like, you know what, yeah, let's... And it would be hilarious if we did something like that.
Calabria and Conte, both on the right side like that, we're giving away a handball pen. It's just the only thing that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
It's bound to happen.
Actually, one each.
Yeah, they're going to head it to each other and just head it to the other person's arms, no matter what. Like,
they'll both jump into each other.
Like, they're going to T-pose the whole game, just take shots to the arm. Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
So let's just preview the one after, because we'll have that as well. But prediction-wise, real quick, you said 3-2, Maddie. All you said 3-1. I'm going to say 4-1. It's going to be bad.
Could be pretty bad.
You know, the entire chat predicted a Sassuolo loss as well.
Not me. I said we were winning that. I said, fuck them.
Really?
Fuck them all. Yeah.
The rest of us were just like, yep, we're losing it.
Mm. Yeah. I was looking, Sampdoria, I put a tweet out praising them for the resurgence that they've had. They won 4 of the last 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
They were on a very good run post-lockdown. They were really, really in peril. You know, they were 20th for some time. Ranieri came in. Took a bit of time to get going, but now he has. Now he started playing the younger players. They've had a big, big upturn. And I just looked, and they lost the derby to Genoa tonight, 2-1. So perhaps they're not as fearsome as they made out. I look at their team, Aldero in goal. Maya Yoshida, like, he wasn't good enough for Southampton. And he's ended up there, but whatever. Oh, my call it. Carol Linetti's good. I like Martin Thorsby. Jakub Jankto is a player that Milan were linked with a lot. I like him. Gabby Adini was actually a solid Prem player again for Southampton. And Bonazzoli, who's one of the better young strikers in the league. He's having a bit of an emergence this season. Don't strike fear. So
who's going to be back? Bennacer will be back. Teo will be back.
Romagnoli's done
Kier
for
will
season.
Be back. Right.
So what we're
that's
looking
the only
at
loss, really.
Is a Kier-Gabbia partnership at best for the rest of the season. Unless we decide Duarte's the guy.
Well, he's not fit. He can't come back.
Don't think so.
It's going to be Kier and Gabbia. Which,
yeah, it is.
To be fair, that's the only combination we haven't seen yet. So, who knows? Maybe they click. You know, I'm not too worried about that.
That'd
game.
Be nice.
Yeah. I think that's
we'll see.
One gap in our back line. Granted, it's literally in the middle where we need it the most to not have a hole. But I don't know. I think the rest of the team is going to recognize that. And you're going to see Bennacer dropping a little bit deeper. Kessie dropping a little deeper. Maybe in switch sides, like you said, to help Teo get forward. To strengthen that right side as well with Conte and Salamakers going forward. I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. I think Gabbia can get the job done. But it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
It'd be a proper test for our depth. A real proper test. Well.
I'm going to say that's a 2-1 win.
I think 2-1 win.
2-0. We'll get a clean sheet.
Yeah, nice optimism.
With a Kessie screamer.
Also worth mentioning as well that Samp play 2 up front. So that will be a real handful. But we'll see. We'll just see. Questions. Time for questions. There are other news things, but I've got a feeling that they're going to be asked within the questions. So let's roll with it. Legend of Selva asks, even if we lose to Atalanta, how confident are you for fifth spot considering the games that Roma and Napoli have left? So I
think we can get it.
Yeah.
Me too.
With 3 games to go for all of us, I've learned not to try and predict things because pressure does funny things to different teams, you know?
And we're a team that crumbles under pressure.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I think
best case scenario, Milan win 2 out of 3 of their games. And then Roma have got Juve in one of their games.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that that might be the game that clinches Juve the title, but they might have already done it by then. And then Napoli will
Inter
see
drew today too, didn't they? So
yeah.
Does that mean they win Juve, or are they a win away now? Let me see.
I think they're a win away.
They have a game in hand. So if they win,
then
it's done. It's game. Because they'll be on 83, and there's no way they can come back. Well, I guess Atalanta could.
It'd be two games, yeah. It'd be two games away. It could be the Roma game, does it? Yeah.
And I mean, so
I think best case for us is really 2 out of 3. Napoli's starting to slow up now.
We're finishing above Napoli, and here's why. It does not matter where they finish. They have direct group stage UCL, or I'm sorry, not UCL, Europa League. They cannot get Champions League. They're literally playing for nothing right now. And the next three games,
they're in the Champions League.
So.
Like Napoli's focus will be on that second leg against Barca.
Yes. I'm sorry. I thought you meant in Champions League positions.
No.
Yeah, but
they'll have to think about that as well.
That's the most important thing to them. That's their qualification to Champions League is winning it. They're not going to, but that's their objective, you know? None of the other stuff matters in the season. And going against Inter, who's fighting for the title, Lazio, who I think's mathematically out of the title now, but if not, then, you know, whatever. They're fighting for a top spot as well. There's no way Napoli's finishing above us. Roma has Juve. I think they lose that. And they have another game that I don't think is easy either, don't they? Don't they have a... They have Torino and Fiorentina. It's not the easiest schedule, but it's definitely not like the world's hardest.
No, it's not. You don't know, man. Fiorentina are a bit of a wild card. Like
they always are. So are Torino, they are, honestly. For sure. I mean, Belotti could just have a game.
Whereas you think with Milan, you know, Atalanta, whatever we've talked about, it's a bit of a different game. Mm-hmm. But if we don't beat Sampdoria and Cagliari at home, then we don't deserve to finish fifth.
I agree.
The rest can take care of itself. If we win those two,
we could also win on Friday. You guys never know.
That's true.
We could pull a win out of
our heads. And if we do, then I'll be very confident that that's where we're heading for is fifth. You know, it would be such a big, big result. But
on the flip side of that, if we don't finish fifth and we get qualification and we lose and we don't make it to group stage, then we didn't deserve it anyways. You know, we should be winning any qualifier except for Tottenham if they get it.
True.
That's a tough game. That's a tough game.
It is a tough game, yeah, but I just don't see that.
We should still win it.
I got some team from Cyprus, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go watch it. Same question, Legend of Silver. Transfer-wise, given the choice, would you take Szoboszlai? Oh, no. Dominic, because we've been picked up about his pronunciation. We've been told about three different pronunciations. Szoboszlai.
Yeah, because the SZ makes a normal S, and then just a Solo's S makes a CH.
Yeah, listen to the Hungarian guy.
Austrian.
No, there was a Hungarian guy and an Austrian guy. Yeah.
And big props to that guy, because he got me.
My bad for calling you Australian.
That was funny.
That was great.
That was joke.
I saw that, I was like, of course.
Culturally couldn't get two more different places. Szoboszlai or Depay. Let's say they both cost the same.
I think they would play totally different roles, so I'm going to go with Szoboszlai. I think that's the way to go. I think that's just a position that needs more reinforcing.
Same.
Well, I guess in our system, they might play the same spot. They would take Salamakers,
I was
going to
say, I want to see what the system is now Randick's not coming. If we're sticking with this 4-2-3-1...
We've been killing it.
Do we need a left winger anymore? Or is that Rebic's spot? Do we need a playmaker anymore? Or is that Calhanoglu's spot?
I agree.
So what do we need then? A right winger?
We need someone to... Because while great, Salamakers is not going to be the guy. You know, we know that he might become the guy, but he's not right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think Castillejo is either. He had a few good games, but he had a lot of not so good games. So, plus he's long-term injury. Granted, he's coming back for Atalanta, but still long-term injury. We need a third person there at minimum, whoever it is. And it makes sense to get someone who's better than what we already have instead of going for depth. You know, there's only so many like cut price deals we can make that work out. Eventually one's going to be a bum. And
yeah,
well, they're bums there most of the time. Just the last few may have worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some good right wingers that I can think of that I'd like us to go and potentially get. If we're looking at a player that can play on the wing and is sort of explosive and beats a man and is selfish and is a goal threat, Depay is a good option. As is someone like Jeremy Boga, having a great season.
I would love Boga. I could throw a name in the hat that would fit the team perfectly, that isn't getting play time, that is incredible, but we cannot afford him or his salary, Gareth Bale.
The last bit means that I'm not going to say anything else.
I wouldn't even want him. He's a joke.
He's also injury prone.
I'm not when he's been sitting on the bench for 6 months.
Yeah.
Do you see him on the bench just sleeping? I don't want
to
play.
What else is he
going
to do? Zidane told him to leave the club. He's not going to play.
It's like,
dude, that's so immature.
He prefers golf to football.
I would too if I was playing there. Anyways.
So I think if we're going for a right midfielder, right winger to fit the system we play at the moment, then there are options out there. I also wouldn't be dead against Berardi, to be honest. He's had a bounce back season and he looked like their best player, without a doubt.
I could have sworn he had something with Juventus for like years.
Well,
I know he's an Inter fan, but I thought he was like owned by Juventus, or they bought him.
It was a co-ownership thing or something.
One of those weird.
It was a Demiral thing as well. It was like that.
And Sassuolo got it. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got combined 20 goals and assists this season. He's kind of gone under the radar, but he's had a really good bounce back season. So he might be talked about more again. But if we're going for a right wing, and then I don't know, somebody like that. Where are we now? Christian Espinosa. How nervous are we that Bennacer gets bought this summer? He says by Man City, but by anyone.
He won't go anywhere.
I mean, I think if we're as serious as it sounds like we've committed to Pioli, now let's commit to building this team, we won't sell him. But at the same time, Man City's capable of offering way more than he's worth, and we all agree he's worth a lot. If they throw out something like 70 mil, then yes, take that shit and run. Spend 35 to 40 on Tonali or 25 on Bakayoko, and it's a slight downgrade, but we got a ton of money. You know, I could see that happening. Other than that, no, he doesn't leave.
He says here, does Christian in the question, would it be okay if Tonali came in as his replacement? I was just going to say, the only terms I'd sell Bennacer on, given that his release clause isn't active until next year, 50 mil
He'll
release
clause.
He'll
sign a new contract before that's
active. Or renegotiate it to get rid of it. That would be ideal. But the only terms I would sell him this summer is if we knew we were getting enough money in to get two players.
Yes.
You know, to get Tonali and Bakayoko, to get
two players that are going to definitely play well, not like questionably play well.
Yeah, not like Tonali and Coop Miners or something like that.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's the other thing, too. We need more depth in that position. We can't have 34-year-old Bilia and bang average Krunic being the immediate substitutions for our midfield. It's not good. So
yeah. Biglia's leaving, man. Don't even joke about him being here
next
year. Yeah,
that's true. I just forgot, honestly. which means we need another one.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Bonaventura stays now?
Yeah, I think he gets a renewal. It'll be a short one, and it won't be worth a lot, but I think he deserves it.
Totally agree. This is a good question from Alvin. Who influenced our good run more, Pioli or Ibrahimovic?
Ibrahimovic.
Pioli.
The second Ibra got to this club, things changed. From the fans to the performance to the results, to the smiles on the management's faces. And I think Pioli's obviously done a great job, but there's no denying the off-the-ball impact that Zlatan has at the club. I've said it a million times over. I think he's had the biggest impact.
Ibrahimovic is like hiring a manager. Mm-hmm. You know? He is the best out-and-out number nine in Serie A still. He's right in what he says, that since he arrived, we're third in the league in points. And, you know, if he'd have been here sooner, who knows what that could have become. But I'm going to say both, and I know that's a boring response, but I think that to exclude one of credit because of the other would be unfair.
I think they've
both done bits to transform the club. You know, they both came in Pioli definitely did in October, and inherited a squad that was very psychologically damaged after a wasted pre-season and a bad start to the season. Pioli got us back up to a certain level, but then Ibra came in and probably still saw a damaged and vulnerable group of players. And he has got them, you know, with the help of everybody else, up to a position where we are now, where we're able to compete with literally anyone in the league and beat them. And that is something that is a champion mentality. You know, we talk about it. We talk about it like it's this thing that doesn't exist. Like it's this, oh, well, he's got this leadership. He's got this experience. It's a very, very tangible thing. You look at him on the pitch, the way that he barks at players, but also the way that he praises players when they get passes right, for good bits of vision, for fighting for balls. It's like having a manager out there on the field. I said this manager is the guy who's won everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you trust that guy. And everybody in the squad seems to love him.
Well, and even you see what he's doing. If he's not contributing to goals, he still kind of is. You know, there's always going to be two defenders on him. No team in the world is not having Zlatan Ibrahimovic double man marked, you know? And that's going to open it up for Kessié, Calhanoglu. Exactly. It's because everyone else is contributing now. And they're getting those shots because Zlatan.
So my worry is that I think he'll stay now. I think he'll sign another year extension. That's my gut. It's not based on anything. My worry is that we attempt to depend on him again next season, because as we've seen, he's one not even that serious injury away from everything kind of falling apart for us. So I hope that we don't lean on him too much again, and we still go out and get a good centre forward. And somebody who can learn from Ibra and is more than capable of taking those spots. But you just can't replicate the impact that somebody like Ibrahimovic has. You really can't. And I really hope he stays now. I do. I've criticised him this season since he's been here. There's been performances where he's looked disinterested. But ultimately, somehow the team's been dragged to the position where they are, and it's a good position, and it's a fantastic run of form, and I think he deserves his plaudits, because when he's played well, he's played brilliantly. Like, he's done stuff that you just can't teach. His movement, he just plays the game at walking pace sometimes, and he's still yards ahead of everybody else. It's quite scary. Yeah, keep him. Where are we here now? So Tommy at Tommy Tank says, do you think Ibrahimovic and Maldini staying at Milan next year is fundamental for our continued growth, or can Pioli do it alone?
No, I think they're fundamental. I think they can just stay.
I think they both have to stay.
And so keep the band together.
Yeah, exactly.
So Giovanni Scaramuzzino asks, do you think Milan look more attractive now for any incoming players?
Absolutely.
I do too. Yeah, I do.
The football's great. You know, before it was like, this is a great club. Look at our history. Maldini's our sporting director. You get to meet Maldini, have lunch with Zlatan. Now it's like, we play better than anyone.
Sounds like something you win in a charity competition.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Well, because like, we weren't offered. It's like, yeah, like, we may suck, but like, look at these cool people you get to hang out with, you know? But now it's like, yo, not only are all these cool, dope-ass people here, but we're living up to our moniker. You know, we're playing like one of the best teams in the world right now, and you could be a part of that, and we think you should be. And they'll be like, wow, thank you. And they join.
We've seen the personal persuasion powers that Maldini has. We saw it with the Teo Hernandez deal and other players who have said that he has an impact.
Well, when you're a defender and Maldini is coming to recruit you to play for his old club, it's probably so hard to say no.
Yeah. Hmm.
You know.
I also think, and again, I tweeted about this earlier in the week, I also think that we should give Chief Scout Jeffrey Moncada a lot of credit. Yeah, we got him from Monaco, and he was the guy who won a lot of talents for Monaco. You know, your Mbappe's, your Fabinho's, Bakayoko, when he was there the first time around. And he seems to be doing a pretty good job, you know, that... Yes, there are question marks over Duarte and probably Krunic. Although
you're not going to get everyone perfect, though.
No, and you know, there's been injuries for Duarte, so kind of whatever. And Krunic has kind of played the role that we thought he would, you know, off the bench for the last few minutes when we've got a lead and starting the odd game, and he's looked pretty tidy during that period. I mean, that's what you get for 8 million euros now.
Duarte also looked good when he played. He did not look terrible. He just got injured very early into his stint with the club.
I'm still – jury's still out, I think, on Duarte.
I remember not being, like, wildly disappointed, but I don't remember much of his performances. But I kind of lean towards what Maddie's saying. I think he might be right on that. I think he did have a couple good games before dying for a year.
Yeah. Yeah, before I think with Duarte, a lot of it is about like the type of centre back that he's next to. Because he's very aggressive.
Right. Yeah,
and he tries to cut things out proactively.
You got the Conte like, special.
Yeah. I can't remember where we were with that, to be honest. But Theo Diplas, what about going back in for Anthony Robinson from Wigan? Now, the reason that I ask this, I mean, it's probably for you two guys, it's a meh, whatever.
Yeah.
Wigan have been involved in one of the weirdest situations that I can remember. They're in the same division as my boyhood team, my local team, Huddersfield. They've been in a relegation battle for most of the season. And then they started to climb well clear, like 10 points clear of the bottom three. And then they went into administration, which meant that they got 12 points deducted. As it stands, they've been relegated because of that points deduction, but I think it's going to be appealed, whatever. They've had such a good end to the season, despite all the chaos off the pitch. Anthony Robinson has been incredible during that run. Like, I'm not surprised to see some of the teams that are now supposedly interested in him from the top flight. You know, there's been talks about Leicester being interested in him as Chilwell's potential replacement. Mm-hmm. And I think we might live to regret not getting him, you know, when we did. Yes,
I think
he
Everton might live to regret selling him.
Possibly.
You know, I look at the Kjaer deal and the Salamakers deal. Maldini pulled those off and we all were kind of like, well, what the hell? Like, this isn't worth it. You know, Maldini wanted another fullback, a cheap one, and albeit an American, which a lot of, you know, football fans will say is a bad thing, but, you know, hey, here we are. But I don't know. How could you?
He's not even American. He was born and raised in England. He just has
doesn't
an
matter.
Dad or something.
Doesn't matter. USA.
Well, Pulisic is Croatian, but well,
that's not true at all.
That's not. He has a born Croatian in Pennsylvania. Grandfather.
Yeah,
he was born and raised in Pennsylvania.
He's Croatian, like Ibrahimovic is Bosnian. Move on.
Okay, well then I'm Italian.
Yeah, and I'm
like,
Hungarian.
Okay, yeah, cool. Like whatever.
Armenian, innit?
Both.
Oh, that's interesting.
But we're going for a Hungarian player. So.
Anyways, yeah, I think we go back for him. I think with Wigan collapsing and the fact that he was already dirt cheap, it makes no sense to just go in and get him again. We need someone for that position. We're getting rid of Calabria, so we're going to have one right back. So we're going to need a backup, which could be Anthony Robinson, and then we could get a starter who could be Emerson from Betis or Barca, technically. But, yeah, so I think it's a good idea. Get him. Go, USA.
Good player, yeah, good player. If he's happy to shadow Teo Hernandez, which I get it. I mean, we're going to be playing 50 games next season, assuming we get into the Europa League and stuff. So he would get games. He seemed keen to make the move last time around. We did him a massive favour. I know that's the wrong way to phrase it. No, not that. Like, we found his heart problem that he didn't know about before.
Yeah, he could have died.
I don't want to say we saved his life or anything because you never know how it's going to be, but
he owes us his life.
It would be great if it came full circle and 12 months later he ended up joining us after everything.
A player like Oliver, I don't know if you know who Clint Dempsey is, but he had a heart murmur his entire career.
Who knows who Clint Dempsey is?
And he found it in his last year of his playing career in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, how do you go 35 years?
Yeah, that is weird.
Those as a professional player.
Because a heart murmur is something very easy to identify, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement that we need a new backup left back, and he's the guy. That might be it. I think that's it. We got a few questions saying, what does this mean for Szoboszlai? Everybody seems well hyped about this guy. I'd like to remind everybody he is 19, and he did just play in the Austrian Bundesliga. But he did have a fantastic season. Technically, he looks very good. He looks like a good playmaker. You can't argue with what we've seen. I'm just saying that, like, he shouldn't be the focus of everybody's transfer windows. You know what I mean? Like, I think we might, if we're going down a different direction now, they're going to be exciting targets. You know, Florentino Luiz might come back into fashion, and he's doing it for Benfica. He's done it at a higher level. Tonali will probably come back. I've seen stuff about... I've seen stuff about Castrovilli again from Fiorentina. And I've seen something with about Federico Chiesa as well. You don't like him, do you?
No.
His name translates to church, which I find a bit weird.
Don't sign him.
Someone said about bringing back Locatelli as well.
Yes, 100%.
Mega no.
You don't like him.
Correct.
At all.
I do not like him at all. Although I will say, his hair and his beard from the last game, I was like, oh, he looks decently good. Like, he doesn't look like a kid anymore.
He's a better player than Andre Silva will ever be.
Interesting, because they play entirely different positions.
Doesn't matter.
I would definitely bring back Cotrone. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher or at Kilpin Chronicle for some more explicit Milan-based rants. I've been joined by Anthony Torgrue.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Torgrue45. Good episode. A lot of good times. And yeah.
Hey, guys, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Yeah, we'll catch you in a week's time. And hopefully we've got a couple more wins to talk about. But in the meantime, let's hope that everything is not on fire anymore. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you in a week.
Said it twice.
Tira Alessio, Suso, tira. Perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol! Alessio Romagnoli!